You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Everybody ready for the Word tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, got your Bibles with you? I hope you do. That way you're not at my mercy. You know, God forbid you be at the mercy of the preacher. You know, you need to follow along with the preacher and make sure that what he's saying is scriptural and biblical and so on and so forth. Because we all have our, you know, opinions, and our opinions like elbows. Everybody's got a couple of them. And in a sermon, by all means, you ought to pay real close attention to the text, close attention to the scripture. Because all my jokes, and I might have a few, not near as many as Jan Moore, but I might have a few jokes. All my impact statements or catchy, pithy phrases or sayings or statements, as good as they may be, as true as they may be truisms, maxims. Some of them are tautologies, but anyway, we won't get into that. They may be true, but what's going to change your life is the Scripture. What's going to make the difference is knowing what God said. And anything else we say to enhance that, or any stories we tell to point to that, should be just that. They should just be enhancers and pointers. But what we're pointing to is the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And really, all of us point to Jesus, or should. You know, that was the problem with Adam and Eve, when you think about it. They were just adjectives, and they tried to be nouns. We can do the same thing. They were just satellites, and they tried to be the sun. We're not the center. We're the satellites around the center. Now, we can choose which center we satellite around, but we're always going to be a satellite. And we can choose what noun we're going to complement, but we're always going to be an adjective. That's it. It's all we're ever going to be. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that, because we're reflectors of that light. He must increase, we must decrease. Amen? And so we're all about Him. We're all about Jesus. We're all about reflecting Him. He's like the sun. We're like the moon. Any light we have is reflected off Him. That's a good thing. What was that old song? Bob Dylan, after, you know, he got right with God for a short period in his life and put out a Christian album. And Slow Train Coming, I believe, is the name of that album. But on that, he had You Gotta Serve Somebody. He just didn't listen too well to his music, but anyway. All right. Did I tell you to turn anywhere in particular? Okay, good. I can just preach anything then, can I? Good. Turn to Hebrews 3, if you will, and we'll see how far we get into that. We're still ministering along the lines of Numbers 13 and 14, where the 12 spies went in and spied out the land and came back. 10 came back with a bad report, 2 with a good. And Numbers 13 is where all that took place at Kadesh Barnea, where they were going into the promised land, going into the promised land. And God sent them out to spy out the land. And because of their negativity, because of their doubt and unbelief, because they would not trust God and their hope was not in God, the whole nation perished in the wilderness. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and 2 men went in of those 12 spies, and that was Joshua and Caleb. And the reason they went in is because they had another spirit, the Bible says. In the 14th chapter of Numbers, it says they had another spirit in them. And if you look at what they said in the 13th and the 14th chapter of Numbers, they said, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome." And Joshua went on to say, their bread has departed from them, their bread for us, their defense has departed from them. God is with us. He will deliver us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. In talking all this unbelief and doubt. And sometimes we get into that. I mean, Psalm 78, we went into that last Wednesday night. And it recounts the whole thing that we just read over there in the 13th and the 14th chapter of Numbers 13 and 14 over the last few weeks. It recounts that whole incident where the children of Israel rebelled against God. And really, you might call Psalm 78 what not to do on the way to the promised land. Because it is filled with things not to do. Hello. Y'all sound real excited tonight. Psalm 70, in fact, Hebrews 3, hold your place. I'm going to read a couple things off. I just listed some things here. Psalm 78 starts out and talks about how it was written so that this generation, the generation to come, would know God. That we wouldn't repeat that scenario or that incident that took place in Kadesh Barnea, Numbers 13 and 14. And God forbid the world wouldn't repeat it and reject Jesus, not believe on Jesus. You know, you had to believe to get into the land of promises, heaven as it were, to be saved to start with. And then you have to believe to continue in His promises or to attain the promised land. This is the land of promises, all the promises of God. If you want these cities that the Bible talks about, it's only as we trust God and put our hope in God and our trust in God that we'll be able to inhabit these cities. In fact, when we stop trusting and stop praying and stop believing God, then we cease to possess these cities of promise, these promises in His Word. There is a city of peace waiting for you. There is a city of health waiting for you. There is a city of joy waiting for you. There are all kinds of cities in the promised land. But it's only as we trust God and put our faith in God and our hope in God and talk right, walk right, that we begin to possess it. And so it's instruction, it's example for all of us. The Bible's filled with things to do and it's filled with things not to do. In fact, it's interesting, if you want to go under, the Bible will tell you how to do that. It tells you exactly how to go under. It tells you exactly what people that went under did and why they went under. Now, if you want to go over, the Bible tells you how to go over. It tells you exactly what you need to do to go over and have victory in your life, in your marriage, as a Christian, as a witness, as a believer, and so on and so forth. And this 78th Psalm, Hold Your Place in Hebrews 3, was written to a generation to come that they might know God's Word, that they might set their hope in God. This is right out of the 6th, 7th, and 8th verse. That they might not forget God's works, miracles, healings, provisions, that they be not stubborn and rebellious, that they keep their heart right and keep their heart faithful. And that speaks volumes to us, amen? The Bible's written for that intent concerning us. Why do we have the Bible? So that we can know God and know His Word. So that we can set our hope in God. So that we could forget not His works, His healings, His miracles, His deliverances, and so on. And so that we be not stubborn and rebellious, that we keep our heart right, and that we keep our heart faithful. Well, if they'd done that, they'd all gone right on into the promised land, and they'd skipped 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Are you with me? But they didn't, and then it lists what they did wrong, and these are things not to do on your way to the promised land. Hello. Have you experienced all the promises in the Bible? Oh, come on, there's lots of them you're not going after. Amen? There's several of them you need to experience, and I need to experience. This is a lifelong quest. Well, we're on our way through the promised land. There's things to do and there's things not to do. Here's what not to do. Don't be stubborn and rebellious. Don't have your hearts, keep your hearts right. Don't be unfaithful. Don't turn back. They did not keep God's covenant. They refused to walk in His ways. They forgot His works. They sinned, rebelled, and tested God. They spoke against God. They questioned His ability to provide. That's a big one. They did not believe in God. They flattered Him with their mouths, lied to Him with their tongues. They limited the Holy One of Israel. Wow. This is all out of Psalm 78. It tells us that we went over this the other night. They didn't remember His power. They tested and provoked Him again. They did not keep His testimonies. They turned back and acted unfaithfully, and they provoked Him to anger. All bad things to do on your way to the promised land. Hello. In fact, that'll keep you from the promises. So it speaks volumes to us. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3 talks about this very same account. It's fascinating that so much time is devoted to this. And if you were to read Numbers 13 and 14, you get the account. And honestly, God wasn't happy with those people. That's pretty obvious. Moses interceded for them. And because Moses interceded, they were spared. But the 10 spies that brought the bad report, they died that very... Actually, they probably died that day. It just says they died immediately or soon thereafter. And then a whole generation died in the wilderness. 20 years old and upward, they all died, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now, did God not want them to go to the promised land? Of course He did. God wants everybody to go to heaven, when you think about it. But you know, everybody doesn't go to heaven. Now, why is that? I'll tell you why. Because God loves people, and God's not a dictator, and God's a perfect gentleman about this thing. And if you just insist on not accepting Jesus, He's not going to make you accept Jesus. No one's going to heaven kicking and screaming. No one's going to be blessed by God kicking and screaming. Are you with me? And so as long as we resist it, resist His Word or resist trusting Him, it's not that God won't do it. God can do it. It'd be violating who He is and His nature. I mean, we'd be slaves and He'd just be a dictator and He'd just be making us do things and we wouldn't have any control at all or any say-so at all or any will at all. And you know what? Even if we all served Him under those conditions, I don't know how God could be pleased with that because we wouldn't have had a choice to serve Him. So how could He get pleasure out of making us praise Him, making us serve Him? See, the only way this thing works is if you willfully choose to serve God, trust God, to come to God, pray to God, If you do it of your own free will, if you do it because you love Him, you do it because you recognize the fact, not because you're a great person. It's not great people that serve God. Everybody can serve God. It's not great people that get the promises or get their prayers answered. It's just people that trust Him. There was nothing great about me when I came to God and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Are you kidding? There was nothing left for me. I called out on Him with all I had, and it wasn't a whole lot. But you know, I did make a commitment. I accepted Jesus. I was 19 years old. And I come out of a wild lifestyle, and I called on Jesus, and I meant it when I said it. I mean, I don't know what, I didn't know then what I know today. But I came to Him, and I called on Him, and the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what? I stuck with it. I stayed with the commitment. The next day, I began to talk about Him, and I started looking for somewhere, somebody that knew Him, some other Christians to hang around, a church to go to. And by that weekend, we found a church, and I went to a church. I mean, it was just a commitment on my part that I decided to come to God, and God took me just like I was because I came to Him of my own free will. Amen. Now, as a Christian, as a believer, it works the same way. When there's needs in your life and you see what God says, you don't have to be super faith man or super faith woman. You just come to Him and you say, God, here I am. Your Word says this. I'm calling on You now and I'm committing to this and I'm going to trust You and I'm going to put my hope in You. Amen. I'm going to come to You with childlike faith. And just like I did when I got saved, I didn't know anything about You hardly at all, but I called on You and You saved me and I accepted that and I talked about that. I'm going to accept this promise and I'm going to talk about this promise. No big deal. We make a big deal out of it lots of times, but really, it's just trusting God with childlike faith. Not questioning Him when He makes a promise, but just come to Him and trust Him. See, and God, He's pretty serious about this, really, because we got a whole chapter in Psalm 78, a long psalm, incidentally, about what happened in Numbers 13 and 14, about the rebellion in the wilderness. We have another chapter in the New Testament, Hebrews 3. And part of 4 that talks about the same thing. So He doesn't want us to forget this. That was an example of what not to do. I love the Bible because the Bible doesn't pull any punches. It just tells you what people did right, what people did wrong. Even the heroes of the Bible weren't perfect. Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus was sinless. Even Abraham, a man that was called a friend of God, lied about his wife. David committed adultery and he was called a man after God's own heart. Job was called a righteous man, and as soon as the flood was over, he got drunk. Now, God's not advocating that kind of behavior. In fact, it's from the Bible we know that that's wrong behavior. But it tells me that there is no perfection except in Jesus. Amen. And yet, God still loves us. And if we'll get back up on our feet, God will forgive us and God can use us. Woo! Thank you for your excitement tonight. So He tells us here in the third chapter of Hebrews, you found it? Notice the seventh verse. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost says, or Holy Spirit says, I'm reading New King James here. As the Holy Ghost says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested Me, tried Me, saw My works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart. The problem was in their heart. Y'all see that? Where did they stray? Where did they err? It says they erred or strayed in their heart. And they have not known My ways. Everyone say ways.
Ways.
That's fascinating to me because, man, they ate bread from heaven every day. They followed a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They crossed the Red Sea by dry land. They came out of Egypt where those 10 plagues took place. Are you kidding me? They didn't know God's ways? That's exactly right. They didn't know His ways. They knew His acts. They experienced what He did. They know how He did it. And if we're not careful, we'd be the same way. We believe God can, but we just don't know if He will. We believe God's able, but we don't know how He does anything. Woo, getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. So we don't want to be like those people. Are you with me? And you know what? We don't have to be like those people. That's why all this is in here, so we don't have to be that way. The good news is you can come out of that, whatever that is. Whatever they were like, we don't have to be that way. There's hope for us. Hallelujah. Everybody say there's hope for me.
Hope for me.
Amen. Praise God. So He says here, they erred in their heart and had not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Well, you don't enter into rest if you don't know how God does. What do you mean? Hold your place there. Turn to Psalms 103. Man, I want to go into the promised land. I see the promises in here. I want to go there. Hallelujah. Do you know the way? That's a good question. Because really, there's always a way to a place, isn't there? Of course, we know Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Me, in some sense, in that sense, Jesus, John 14:6, where he says that, Jesus is the way to heaven. So everything that's a real thing has a way to it. And everything that God does has a way. He has a way he does it. So you can think of ways in two different ways. You can think in terms of a way, a road to a place, or you can think of how something takes place, a way it happens. When he's talking about they have not known my ways, he's talking about they don't know how I do things. Now, metaphorically, you know, you could say that that's a road, because you're never going to get from here to there unless you go the way God set up. Do it the way God set it. So in one sense, it's a road. Doing it, and we're on the wrong road. Most of the time, I think we're just on the wrong road. God's still there. He still hadn't changed. He's still in the same place. I mean, we're not as close as maybe we should be, but it wasn't him that moved. Amen. Are you with me? And if we get back where we should be and get back on the road, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He's not going to change. He can't change. You know, faith doesn't move God. It doesn't change God. It doesn't shake God. Faith connects with God. No question. But you don't change God. Faith doesn't, we're not manipulating God. We're not pulling levers, pushing buttons, flipping switches. You know, often people will say when we talk about believing God and trusting God, they'll say, well, you just got God in a box. You're just telling God to do this and that and so on and so forth. No, we're not. We're just trusting God. Actually, we're the ones in the box. We decide to get out of the box. God never changes. In fact, faith doesn't make God a healer. He already is a healer. Faith doesn't make him a savior. He already is a savior. When I believe, all that does is connect me with God, and I am saved. Are you with me? But he's still the Savior. And I didn't make him a Savior when I believed. He already was a Savior. I just wasn't experiencing it because I wasn't believing. So if faith moves anything or anybody, it moves us. It doesn't move God. Amen. It gets us in position. It gets us under the spout where the glory comes out. The water's on. We're just not standing under the faucet. God's moving just like he would be flowing down this, like a river down this aisle right here. And he's always moving, and God's always blessing. He's always healing. He's always giving peace and answering prayers. He is constant. He is the same. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing's ever going to change God. Our unbelief is not going to make the faith of God of none effect. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He's not a man he'd lie, nor the son of man he'd repent. But what happens when we believe is we get up out of our seats and we get in the flow. We step over into the flow. We step over into the aisle where God's moving. That's what faith does. Faith positions us. It doesn't position God. Hello. Faith doesn't move heaven and earth. God's already on the move. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Woo! Is that helping anybody?
Amen.
Psalms 103, y'all found it?
Got it.
Still holding your place in Hebrews 3?
Yes.
Psalms 103, this is interesting. Notice what it says in the 7th verse. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So, they have not known my ways, is what it says over there in Hebrews. Well, they saw his acts, but they didn't know his ways. Now, Moses, on the other hand, did know his ways. Moses knew that God moved through prayer and moved through faith. He understood that. But they didn't seem to get that. In fact, they would just, when a crisis would come, they wouldn't pray. They would start talking against God. They would start murmuring against God. They'd murmur against Moses. They'd murmur against Aaron. They took up stones to actually stone them in one point. So obviously, they didn't quite understand how God worked. And I can tell you, God's not going to do a whole lot for you like that. I know he's never done anything for me when I'm like that. No reason to believe we're any different here. Are you with me?
Amen.
Now, do you get down? Sure you do. Do you get disappointed in life and discouraged? Absolutely. We're in this life and, you know, we get attacked and sometimes the weight of it gets on us. But that's when you need to call somebody to pray with you and encourage you. That's when you need to open your Bible up and need to pray and get back in the Word and encourage your faith again. You're not the worst person in the world because you've doubted God or thought bad of God. You just need to get away from that and get off that road, turn around, repent, ask God to forgive you, and start believing again. Because God really does love you, and He really does want to help you. And He really is on your side. He's really not your problem. He's your answer.
Amen.
Just like the children of Israel, all that time, He was their deliverer. He was their Savior. He was their miracle worker. He was their Redeemer. He was the Holy One of Israel. And the reason that God was limited was because of them, not God. God wanted to help them. He wanted to take them in. In fact, He did take some in. He took in Joshua and Caleb. But the problem was they erred in their heart. They saw what He did, but they didn't know how He did it. And as it says here in Psalms 103, verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. Let's turn back over to Hebrews 3. This is good. 12th verse, Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, that's the challenge. There's the battle right there. The emotions get to going, and we're emotional creatures, and we've got emotions. The knees start knocking, and they're going to knock. You can't help that. The lip quivers. That happens. The fear hits sometimes when there's an evil report, bad report. That's natural. Recognize that. You're human. You're in a body. Your body responds to those kinds of things. Fear comes. Fogginess comes. Sometimes your head's in a spin and a blur sometimes when you hear a bad report or some negative thing happened or a crisis took place. That's okay. That's just the world we're living in. Are you with me? That's just the body you're living in. But you know, deep, if you'll dig down deep, if you'll be still and know that He is God, if you'll pray, you'll seek God's face when your lips quivering, let it quiver out of prayer. When your knees knock, kneel on them.
Amen.
Come on. That's what we're talking about. I just want to help you here. Because a lot of times we get condemned when we feel that. Condemned when the fear hits. Don't be condemned. That's just your body. That's the world. I mean, that's the way the devil works. That's the way the world works from the outside in. Trying to get you to take the package. Don't sign for it.
Amen.
Don't sign for it. No, you hit your knees, you pray. You call on God. You call on His Word. You get His promise. You stand on His Word. See, don't let an evil heart of unbelief creep in. So obviously, how God works is just the opposite of that, obviously. So if unbelief stops Him, then belief or faith must release His power. Now, it doesn't change Him. He's still there. You're the ones blocked off from it. You get what I'm saying here? Because we're not going to believe God and all of a sudden He's going to become something He wasn't before. He always was a healer. He always was a deliverer. He always was a Savior. Only those that call on Him got saved. Only those that believed on Him got saved, but He always was a Savior. Jesus, are you kidding? God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's me. That's you. We're the whoever's. Man, I am a whoever. I'm a whoever that's going to believe. In the time of trouble, in the time of crisis, in the evil day, I'm going to trust Him.
Amen.
I'm going to be a whoever.
Yep.
Woo!
Amen.
So it says here, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's an admonition. Now, God's not saying that hatefully. I know we can read that hatefully, but that's not what it means. He's trying to encourage us not to go there, to recognize that when it's knocking on our door. 13th verse, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Boy, that's what church is all about. This is what fellowship's all about. This is why you need to get around Christian people, encourage your faith and stir you, because there's not a one of us that can't make it if we'll trust God. There's not a one of us that can't have the power of God in our lives and the promises of God come to pass if we will just trust God. Don't you buy the lie. It's not for special people. It's not just special gifted people that have their prayers answered. It's for whosoever will believe.
Amen.
Amen. I was talking to my aunt the other day. I got tickled. She's 94, I believe. anyway, she's just sharp as a tack. She lives in Livingston area. She used to live in California. But anyway, I asked her how she's doing. She says, well, I fell the other day and been kind of sore. And I said, well, my goodness. I said, Aunt Ethel, are you doing okay? I mean, you didn't break any bones or anything. She said, well, I don't think so. But the bad thing, it happened 3 days before I went to California. I'm thinking, my aunt, you have to realize she's a world traveler. She just goes all over the world and travels. And she has not slowed down. She's 94. I said, oh, you went to California? Yeah, I spent a week or two over there. And she said, but I was kind of sore the whole time. So tomorrow I'm going to go to the doctor and just see what's going on here. I said, well, okay. And anyway, I just told her, I said, well, I'm just going to believe with you, you're going to be fine. Yeah. And she said, well, I hope I didn't break a bone or anything. I said, well, if you'd have broke a bone, Aunt Ethel, I think you'd know it by now. I really do. But anyway, we talked a while, you know, and I told her I'm just going to pray for her and everything. And I got a little note from her yesterday, I think, a little card she sent, and just thanked me for being so positive. She said, everybody needs a lift, and you're just always so positive. You're special to me. And I thought, well, you know, that I didn't really, I'm just talking to her, you know, just lifting her up. But it makes a difference. You know, when you encourage people, exhorting one another daily, what's called today, you want to encourage people, they can make it. Yeah. Encourage them. It's not so bad. We can trust God here. We can get through this thing. It's not the end of the world. Amen. Hello. Because we often get off by ourselves and we think it's the end of the world. I mean, it may not be that big a crisis, but it is to us. It's our crisis. Are you with me? And we'll get to think we're the only ones that ever had to, and that's another lie. Whatever happened, you was having to somebody else too. And the good news is they have made it, and you can make it too.
Amen.
There's somebody that has testimony that went through what you went through. There's somebody that God delivered. There's somebody that prayed and had a miracle. They're out there. Now, you're not going to find out that watching soap operas. You're going to find out reading the Word.
Amen.
You're not going to get that on CNN. Stay with me. Stay with me. You got to get in the Word to find this. And that's why he's telling us to encourage one another, exhort one another, because the power, the influence that you and I have over people can take them down or take them up, can get their prayers answered or get them where they won't get their prayers answered. Don't forget the story. Don't forget what he's talking about. Don't forget the power of influence and how 10 spies influenced a whole nation to not go into the promised land. And how a whole nation perished in the wilderness because they weren't being exhorted by the 10 spies. They were being told they couldn't have what God said they could have. And life was bad and God wasn't big enough or good enough or willing enough to help them. And that's a lie. God is big enough. God is good enough. God is willing to help you. And you and I, we are well able to overcome. For greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And we believe in Jesus. And whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, the Bible says. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Woo! So church is important. Fellowship is important. Hanging around God's people, people that believe God, is important. You know, you can look at the miracles in the Bible. And it's very important that there was an atmosphere of faith. An atmosphere of belief. Remember when Jesus... In Mark the 5th chapter, Jairus came, fell down before him, says, my daughter lieth at the point of death, come lay your hands on her and she shall be healed. Immediately Jesus went with him. On the way, a woman with issue of blood was healed. You know the story. Came up behind, touched his garment, said in her heart, if she could touch the hem of his garment, just touch him, she shall be healed. Virtue, power came out of Jesus. She felt in her body she was healed of the plague. Jesus turned and said, who touched me? The woman feared and trembling fell down before him, told him all that took place. And Jesus said, woman, thy faith made thee whole. And he keeps going on his way with Jairus. He's on his way to Jairus' house. And people from Jairus' house came and said, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. Not a good report. As soon as Jesus heard that, in fact, it's interesting, 36th verse of King James, Mark 5th chapter 36th verse, says, as soon as he heard, as soon as he heard. Everybody say, as soon as.
As soon as.
It's very important when you hear the bad report, as soon as you hear it, you better quote Scripture right back at it. Get the promise going in your mind. Don't let it get a foothold in your mind. Don't start thinking about all the bad things when the bad report comes. Start thinking about what God says. As soon as he heard that, he turned to Jairus and he said, fear not, only believe. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. There's a negative report. There's people discouraging him. They got to the house, and the Bible tells us Jesus ran everybody out of the house except... only let the mother and the father go in, and Peter, James, and John. I thought that was interesting. It didn't let the rest of the disciples go in. There are occasions, even in the Bible, where the rest of those disciples didn't believe, and Peter and James and John did. And that was probably one of them right there. But he had an atmosphere of faith. He only took in the parents and Peter, James, and John, people that believed, and he raised her from the dead.
Amen.
Woo! It's important to be around an atmosphere of faith, amen? It's important to be in fellowship with believers. Because you say, well, what's the big difference? Well, the difference is whether you get into the promised land or not, all right? I'm not necessarily talking about heaven. I'm just talking about the promises of God, a victorious life in your life. Get your prayers answered. Even in a marriage, it's important to be in agreement, because your prayers are hindered when you rail against each other in a marriage. Peter tells us that. He says, don't make accusation or railing for railing, that your prayers be not hindered. Talking about a marriage. Okay, is this helping you?
Amen.
13 verse says, exhort one another daily what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Don't get hard toward God. Don't get hard to His Word. Get a lackadaisical, I don't care attitude, you know. No. You sharpen the sword. You sharpen the sword of God's Word. You sharpen it daily. You pray daily. You get in the Word daily. You hang around God's people. Get in a good church. For we have become partakers of Christ, 14th verse, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. God's looking for consistency in our faith, steadfastness in our walk. Hello. And the way to do that is fellowship. I remember Ken, when Ken first came to our church, I think he'd been straight just a couple of weeks. Is that right, Ken? Not long. You hadn't been straight too long, just about a week. And he came in, big Ken. You know Ken, he's a big guy. And he came in back at the back, and Dale and Cheryl brought him in, and I walked up to him, and I know they've told him this too, and lots of people told him. But I mean, I just felt like I felt strong about this. I looked Ken right now, and I said, Ken, let me tell you something. I did. I told you that, didn't I, Ken? Let me tell you something, Ken. Just met him. I said, you know, I appreciate you coming. That's all great and well and good. But if you don't change your friends, and you don't change the people you hang around with, and if you don't get around Christian friends, you're not going to make it. I told you that, didn't I, Kent? And I said, if you will do this, if you will make the break, and you will throw yourself in, and you'll just hang around Christian people, you need this. I knew he needed it. I mean, he had some serious problems, and of course, Dale and Cheryl told him that too. But I said, if you'll do this, you will make it. And he did.
Hallelujah.
And he has made it.
Yeah.
And now he's our sound man back at the back. But you know why? Is that God? Yes, it is. But let's think about it. It's God, but it was Ken obeying the principles of God. It was Ken staying in fellowship, hanging around Christian people, see? Being exhorted daily. Ken works out at the house with me. We've got weights out there, and goodness, I preach more to Ken. It's kind of both ways. I mean, you know, Ken talks a lot too. We kind of preach to each other. But that's good. Iron sharpens iron. The countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. Christian fellowship is vital. This story is case in point of how important influence is, the people we hang around, the people we listen to. And if we're around the right people that are encouraging us, that are telling us we can believe God, we can trust God, we can make this, we can do this, hallelujah. You can't lose with the stuff we use. It'll make a difference in your life. But you're not going to get that in the world, I can tell you that. You're not going to get it out there. So it says here, 15th verse, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? They were God's people, but they wouldn't listen to God. They wouldn't listen to the leadership either. And they wouldn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. They were listening to the naysayers, the doom, gloom, and destruction bunch. The ones that said you couldn't stand on God's word. You couldn't have God's promises. 17th verse. Now, with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose carcasses or corpse fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter into His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Wow. I mean, He just sums it all up and He says, because they did not believe. I don't want to be that person. I do not want to be that person. I don't say this arrogantly because I don't know what's going to happen to me in the future. I have no idea the details are going to take place, the crisis, the challenges, the temptation, the test is going to come. I mean, life's full of that. I mean, we're in a broken, fallen world. I don't believe God sends them. I don't believe God does that to you. I believe God gives you the way out of those things, gives you the strength to go through the things. I believe God will develop your character as you trust Him and stand on His Word. I believe those things don't develop your character. I believe God's Word develops your character.
Amen.
Crisis doesn't make you better. Standing on the Word makes you better. Now, the crisis may afford the opportunity, and I believe the devil does it to kill you, and he loses if you pray and come to God and run to God. He gets a black eye and you get stronger, but he is gambling that you don't cry out to God and that he wants to kill you with it. So let's don't get confused. God put this in my life to make me stronger. No. No. God used the opportunity because God will get good out of anything for anybody that trusts Him and is called, loves God, and called according to His purpose. But it's only the Word that's going to make you stronger. Are you with me? Amen. Using it, doing something with it.
Amen.
Amen? So I don't know, back to what I was saying, I don't know everything's going to happen to me, but I do know this. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
I mean, are things going to be overwhelming in my life? Sure, lots of times they're overwhelming. I'm way over my head. That's okay. I'm not over God's head. Nothing's ever happened to me over God's head. Nothing's ever happened to me bigger than God. Nothing's ever happened to me the promise of God can't take care of. I've walked away from situations just a shell of a man. I mean, I felt like I was just going to break any second. I couldn't handle another thing. But you know what? In those times, I called on God, and God came through.
Amen.
And God always will come through.
Hallelujah.
That's what the Bible says. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. Think about it. See, we're not alone. Those children of Israel got all upset and got down because they lost their focus. They quit looking at God. They forgot Him and they forgot His works and they forgot His promises and they forgot His Word. They were just thinking about themselves. Oh, we look like grasshoppers in their sight, and we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. Yeah, but see, in God's sight, you're a winner.
Yes.
Amen. What are you doing looking at that? You ought to be looking at God.
Amen.
Well, you know, we often say this. Well, you don't know what I'm facing. Listen, what you're facing, that's the problem. You need to get your face in God's face. You need to get your face out of that mess and get your face in the Lord's face.
Amen.
What you're facing is the problem. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Quit letting that thing consume you. You know, the closer you get to something, the bigger it gets. Like a mountain on the horizon. You get close enough to it, you can't see anything but the mountain. Because things become clearer by approach. But if you'll turn your eyes around and you'll look to God and you'll come to God and you'll get to Jesus and get to His promise and you'll step, walk by faith, you get close to that promise, Finally, you'll get to the base of the mountain of God's Word and you won't be able to see anything but victory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But you've got to head that direction. You've got to head that way.
Amen.
And the way you enter in is by trusting Him. And not trust Him, you go another way. You're backing up. One more verse. That's good stuff. Amen. So it says in that 19th verse, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Fourth chapter, first verse. Now get this picture now. Hebrews, like all the books in the Bible, they did not have chapter divisions or verse divisions. Now I think that's good we have them because it helps us to find them. I mean, okay, y'all turn to the middle of, turn to about three quarters of the way back, if you would. See, I can't tell you where to turn without that. And that's a great help to have a chapter and a verse. I can say turn to this book, chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 1. But in reality, the thought doesn't stop there. So this is all just one big book, one big teaching flowing together. Amen. He's still talking about the same thing. Fourth chapter, first verse. Therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
My pastor always told me, whenever you see a therefore, stop and say, what is therefore? It was therefore, it's deep. Y'all get this when you leave out here, I'm sure. You back up and see what was said because now he's going to make a point based on what was said. So therefore, in light of all that, Since a promise remains entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, there's a lot of promises in God's Word. I believe the whole Bible. How about you? But I'm not naive to think that I've got everything in the Bible working for me. Maybe you do. That's fine. I sure would like to talk to you after service if you do. But I believe the whole Bible, but it doesn't mean I have everything working. In a general sense, I know it's all God's Word. It's true. Amen. And that's a good start. That's a good start. So what I need to do now is find out what it says and start working on some of these areas where he makes promises concerning some needs I have. Are you with me? I mean, if I have a need here, and I know God's Word is true, and he makes a promise that he'll meet that need, then obviously I need to start working on that promise. Are you with me? I need to start encouraging myself in that promise. I need to start quoting that promise. I need to start believing that promise. I need to start praying that promise. I need to start filling myself full of that promise instead of just this problem, as it were. And what happens is, what happened to them, they came short of the promise. That's interesting. I used to say when I was growing up, you know, life costs 50 cents and I got a quarter. That's life. Kind of a negative philosophy, but I mean, you know, I was kind of negative back then. We kind of feel that way sometimes. We got a 10-gallon problem, we got a 5-gallon hat on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we got a problem here. It's a $100 faith problem, and I only got $50 of faith working in my life. Well, you know what? You can encourage your faith. You can grow your faith. Faith grows exceedingly is what the Bible says. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So what we need to do, if we seem like we're short of a promise, man, I know what it says. I'm just having a hard time getting that working. You need to start trusting God. You need to start praying that promise over and over. You need to start thanking God for that answer. Get some people to pray with you. Amen. Get somebody to hook up with you. You're not alone. Get the church to pray with you. That's a good one. And then start working on that. Start centering in on that situation that you know what God says, and yet you're not experiencing it. And you say, well, you know what? That promise is true. I know it's true. I don't want to come up short on that promise. Hello? So how do I come up with enough to make the promise work, as it were? Well, let's go on. Second verse. For indeed the gospel, the good news, was preached to us as well as to them in the wilderness. But the word which they heard did not profit them in the wilderness. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. So when I hear a promise, I need to start mixing some faith in it, don't I? Because that's what I come short up on. I don't come short on the word. The word's never short. I come short on believing. Amen. And I don't want to come short on the word. See, when you trust God's Word, it sure makes it easy to receive. It makes it easy to believe. It makes it easy to eat, as it were. I would love telling this story. We had a couple in our church, our family in our church invited us over, and they had lemon pie. And this is years ago. And everything was fine. It was a beautiful pie. I mean, it was caked up on the top. You know, it had all that, you know, meringue. My dad always called that cash slobber. I don't know why, but anyway. Okay, get that out of your head. Anyway, the pie was it was great looking, and you cut into it, and I mean, my first bite of that pie, I thought, oh my God. No, it wasn't us. It was another person. Yeah, there was another member. It was two members. Excuse me. Yeah, boy, the stories get longer and longer. The first bite, I'm not gonna tell you who it was, but anyway, you'd know him. The first bite, just puckered up the lips. You know, lemon pie is pretty tart to start with. But here's the problem. The lady had forgot to put the sugar in it. Now, even with the sugar, lemon pie is going to be pretty bad. But she'd forgot the sugar in the lemon pie. And when I think about that, I always think about this scripture. You know, the word did not profit them not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. The pie did not profit them not being mixed with sugar in them that ate it. And I will tell you this, that if you believe God and you trust God, when you read the Bible, you can eat it. It tastes good. Amen. You won't sour up on it when you hear it. I see people out here, really, they just need to put a little more sugar on it. Sometimes I'm preaching and I know they're not getting it because they're not mixing the right stuff in with it. They got a word without faith. And it's sour. And they start puckering up. But if you mix some faith in it, it makes it more palatable, it makes it edible, and it'll profit you. It will profit you. That's what God's telling us here in that story right there. In fact, he reiterates it in Psalm 78. He tells it again in Hebrews 3. I tell you, we don't want to miss this. God's got some great promises for us, but we need to mix some faith in with it.
Amen.
Amen. And you do that, I'll tell you, you will enter His rest. You will enter that promise. You will enter the promised land. Hallelujah.